Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your anointing that breaks every yoke. We ask you to minister to the people, the blind, the lost, the dead. Open up their eyes, Lord. Fill them, the backslider. Touch them, restore them, make them whole in the name of Jesus. Let them call right now, 619-296-1206, or write us at JCN P.O. Box 85,000, San Diego, California, 92186, 5000. Our budget is $40,000 a month just for San Diego to minister to people in Mexico and here in San Diego. And I'd like you to stand with us, and I appreciate all of our partners, and I just thank God for you. I just want to say that to you. I really appreciate you for standing with me to minister to people. Many people have came back to Jesus because of this program. They left their church, and then they came back to church because they saw this program on television. So it's through your gifts and tithes and offerings, we're able to stay on air and minister to the lost. So we thank God for you. We appreciate you. Don't think that we don't appreciate you. We really appreciate how you have stood with us. Many people wonder where we were at when we went off air. Well, we ran out of money, but the Lord gave us a little bit of money to go back on. So you just stand with us and keep praying for us, and we're going to keep praying for you. And if you need special prayer, maybe you're sick in your body, maybe you just don't understand the Bible, you say, man, I've really been struggling with the Bible. I've read it, but I really don't understand it. Well, come on down. Let us give you some free tapes, no obligation. You don't need money to come here. You can just come down, and we'll give you some information, some tapes, books, some videos, and build you up so that you can have joy. And you play those tapes over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and the Spirit of the Lord will build you up and set you free. Glory to God. Well, today we're going to talk about, again, take number 44,000, number 7. And it's the second part of Jesus breaking the curse. Now come with me, pray in the presence of the Lord, to Daniel chapter, what did I say, Daniel 10. That's right. Y'all listening? Amen. Daniel chapter 10. Now let me find Daniel. Let me find Daniel. Now, let's start at verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Now, Daniel was praying. He was down on his knees praying, seeking God. He had been thrown into a lion's den. He had been suffering. And here he's seeking the voice and the mind of Christ. And he said unto me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. Now, I'm speaking to somebody who is going through a situation. And this is what God told me to tell you this morning. If you will continue to seek God in prayer, this is what will happen to your life. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. Now God had sent an angel to Daniel because he was praying. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not. Say, fear not. Now I want you to put your name where you see the word name Daniel. I want you to put your name there. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, or put your name there, fear not, Brian, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. Now, I want to stop right there for a minute, and I want you to hear me. Hear what the prophet is saying to the land. Hear. Now, we're dealing with demons of Jezebel and Ahab. We're dealing with generation demons that were put on our families thousands and thousands of years ago. Witchcraft, homosexuality, perversion, drug addiction, alcohol, pride, filthy imaginations. These wicked demons were woven through our bloodline. And now when we accepted Jesus, God began to open our eyes and begin to seal us and begin to help us to stop the devil from controlling our life. Amen? But we got to understand what demons were controlling our life. Very important. Now here goes Daniel. He's seeking God. He's serious about seeking God. Listen to this. First it says, I set thine heart to understand what his atmosphere, what he was going through. And to chasten thyself. Say, chasten thyself. Now, I don't care how much you pray and read the Bible, if you don't chasten yourself, you will still be operating in witchcraft. There are Christians operating in witchcraft. The spirit of pride, the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of disobedience, The spirit of pride. You can't tell them nothing. They're unteachable. And when you tell them they're wrong, they don't want to say, repent. So you're dealing with a person that has a hard heart. And you're dealing with an old, stubborn nature. And we all have stubborn natures, you know. All of us. Say all of us. And God, as the Holy Spirit and the fire begins to burn in us, we have to chasten ourselves. We have to be honest and say, you know, I did have pride in that area. I was operating in rebellion. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Amen? And so we have to be honest. And when we make a mistake, we say, you know, I was disobedient in that area. I'm sorry, Lord. Or go back to that sister or that brother and say, I'm sorry. Even though they didn't receive your apology. Because sometimes when you do something to people, it hurts them, and they got to heal. So when you go so eagerly to apologize, they're not so quick to forgive you. Because you have wounded them. That's how a lot of marriages break up. That's how a lot of churches break up. Because you got people doing things in the night. People doing things in the day. People not obeying. There's gossip, the spirit of gossip. The spirit of pride. The spirit of confusion. They don't reverence the atmosphere. You're in God's house. You ain't at your house. When you come in here, you got to be submitted to the atmosphere of the spirit. If the people don't submit to the atmosphere, I get rid of them. Because I'm trying to allow God to take over me. I can't allow God to take over me if I got anger or bitterness or stubbornness or I want to blow up on somebody. And I've noticed when you talk to some people, they're not willing to change. Amen. So when you're going through a change and you're really being sincere and seeking God, and other people don't want to change, they will grieve you. Because they're still operating under the old nature, under the old covenant. And this works. A lot of them think they can work their way to you instead of work their way to God. See, you cannot work your way to nobody. The Bible said the Lord has to open the door. See, sometimes we're opening doors. God didn't open the door. And sometimes we're trying to shut doors on people that God opened. And that's dangerous. The Bible said be careful if you find yourself fighting against God. Because a lot of people thought I was going to come to naught. They said, well, he'll go under. That's a big mouth. I'm back again. You can't stop me. Because God is with me. Now, I'm not telling you I ain't got some flaws. I'm not telling you I ain't got some areas that God is cleaning in my life. But so do you. Amen. That's the beauty of Christianity. The beauty of Christianity is that you can ask Jesus to forgive you. And the Bible says he's faithful and he's just to forgive you. And to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a good word. So it doesn't matter what people think. Now, sometimes when you offend other people, they won't forgive you as quick. They'll still live in the past. So just because God forgives you, that don't mean that people won't still see you how you was in the past. Because people, that's what happened to Jesus. See, they came to Jesus and they said, hey, Jesus, ain't you that guy from Galilee, from what they call him from? Nazareth? Homeboy? What's up? Ain't you that homeboy from Nazareth? Who do you think you are? Talking about you the Son of God. Talking about you the Savior. Hey! Talking about you the Chosen One. Wasn't you just a carpenter? But they hadn't seen what the Holy Spirit had did on his life. The Holy Spirit had made him become the Son of God. When you said to Jesus, the Holy Spirit made you a daughter of God, a son of God. Now, people can't see that as dead and blind. How can they see that and they still blind and they still walking in their sin? Watch. You see what happened to Daniel? Daniel was seeking God, but he was also dealing with some areas of his life. And God showed me that this morning. And I was blessed when I saw that. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me out of the 20 days. For lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, angels of God, came to help me, and I remained there there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand, to understand. A lot of people say, well, God don't want us to understand why mama died. God don't want us to understand why we lost everything. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And the Bible said if the thief be found, he got to pay sevenfold and all the substance of his house. Do you know that when you repent, even though you are poverty stricken, the devil, everything he stole from you, he got to pay back sevenfold? Because you repented. You're a child of the king. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says if the thief be found, he got to pay sevenfold, listen, and all of the substance of his house. That's why it's so very important to know the word. A lot of people don't know the word. They listen to the word, but they don't understand it, and they don't believe it's for them. So you know what? It goes in one ear and out the other. And they never grasp it. Amen? When the doctor tells you to take your medicine three times a day, you have to grasp that. And you just take your medicine one time a day and expect to get the same results that the doctor told you was going to get, you're going to be wondering, why am I still sick? Well, you didn't take it three times a day. You didn't obey the doctor's prescription. Hey, Jesus has a prescription. He said, listen, where bitter envy and strife is, there's confusion and every other evil work. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. If you get around anybody who wants to argue, they are earthly, sensual, and devilish. They got demons in them. They need deliverance. Where bitter envy and strife is, or jealousy, or confusion, instead of you being humble and be willing to walk in the love of God, you are possessed with bitterness, envy, and strife. The Bible said this wisdom says not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Earthly, sensual, and devilish. Just say that tonight. Earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's why you see some people, you put them in a position, and the two people fighting over the same job. Why? Why do two people fight over the same job and they both got a job? Because one wants to take the other one out and get their job. It's a spirit called competition. Let me tell you something. When God gives you something, you ain't got to compete with nobody. If God gave it to you, what you competing about it for? You know why you competing? Because you got earthly, sensual, devilish demons in you. Once you've been delivered, you can have peace. And you can be assured that it don't matter if Lady Godiva come run down on the horse butt naked, it ain't going to stop you. Amen. Because sometimes we got fears inside of our brain. Well, brother so-and-so came in with a new suit on. He ain't going to like me. But if God gave you that person, nobody can take him. But did God give it to you, or did you do it? See, anytime you did something, you got competition. If God gave you the job you got, nobody can take it. In fact, the company won't even function if they don't put you back in that position. Because God gave Joseph the position over Pharaoh when the famine came. And the Bible said, they threw him in prison. Even his wife tried to adulterate with him. And Joseph said, no, I can't do that. Because he was a slave to Pharaoh. See, he was obedient. He wasn't a whoremonger, see? And the Bible said that she threw him in prison. That didn't matter. The blessing was still on him. He came out of prison and was exalted just like it was like he was never went to prison, like Mandela. What's his name, Della? You cannot get rid of somebody who has the spirit of resurrection on them. I don't care how much you gossip, how much you curse them, how much you talk about them, they have a spirit of resurrection. And they're going up. They said they're going up. And they're going to be made whole. I said they're going to be made whole. Come on, can I get a witness? The Holy Ghost just spoke. The spirit of resurrection is upon you. For God has anointed you to preach the gospel unto the poor. Now listen, glory to God. What happened to Daniel when he began to pray and get serious with God? The first thing happened, the demons came to fight the angels from bringing him the blessing. Anytime you pray for something, the demons will come to stop you because they don't want you to believe that God answers prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, God is a God that answers prayer. I am a living witness. I'm a living witness. My life is a living miracle. 20 years ago, I was shooting dope in my arms, and now I don't crave heroin and cocaine no more. Because God is a God that healeth thee. Say it. God is a God that healeth thee. Now, there's different forms of healing. There's different forms of healing. The first kind of healing that God is going to give you, he's going to put the Spirit on you to heal you. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, for God has anointed you to preach the gospel unto the poor. If you want to overcome tormenting thoughts, tormenting dreams, the Bible said we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If you go around cursing and gossiping, you will always be tormented by the devil, because your mouth is not being used to bless people, but you are cursing people with your mouth. And whatever you sow is what you reap. But if you go around speaking blessings on people, I don't care what they're saying about you, just bless them. Because if your intentions and motives are pure, it doesn't matter what people think your motive is. See, everybody is always going to test your motive, because people think they are judges. They can always criticize you, because that's the way they lead their life. But you have to stay away from them. Just stay back and let the Lord whoop them. The Lord said, if they touch one of these little ones, it's better if a millstone were tied around their neck and they were thrown in the bottom of the sea. So you ain't got to worry about people. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The Bible said, vengeance is mine. So here goes Daniel. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. Now I want to stop right there. And I want to begin to speak something into your life. The things that you are going through, everybody's going through. The demonic powers that come to stop the church is in the atmosphere. The demons to choke your finances. The demons to make you lust or be greedy or do fornication or whatever, it's in the land. To get angry at your husband, to fight with your mother, to fight with your sisters and brothers, it's in the land. But you have to make a choice. I'm not doing that no more. I'm going to stay in the peace of God. I'm going to walk in the love of God. Amen. Now, a lot of people won't understand you because you're changing. See, before you was quick to argue. I was tested this morning, and I just told the gentleman, I said, look, I don't argue no more. I said, because I've learned that God destroys people when I argue. And before, when I argued with people, it used to destroy me. Listen, but now it's destroying other people because my words have become more powerful. But now more judgment from God is coming upon me because I didn't put a guard over my mouth. Be careful what you say about others, because you don't know the level of blessing and anointing God has put in your mouth. So it's better to shut up and let the Lord whoop them. I've watched people get whooped by God. Lord, I just keep my mouth shut and say, I don't want to talk. I got to keep my mouth shut. I got to seek God. I got to spend time with God. Say, I got to spend time with God. Now watch this. God began to deal with me about ruling your house with truth. Now, deception is in the land trying to vex you. The more you block deception, the more you will walk in truth. In 1 Samuel, go there with me, 1 Samuel 16:14. 1 Samuel 16:14. Here, and you should mark this in your Bible and go back and pray. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You know why a lot of people are troubled? Because the Lord didn't send a spirit to trouble them. The Bible said there is no peace for the wicked. You got to want to be delivered from being troubled. And I don't care how much you pay your tithes and offerings, how much you pray and all that other spitting stuff. If you don't repent, you will likewise perish. You got to come out from among them and be separate. You got to see God. And then God will begin to give you the wisdom to see the demons. And to see that God doesn't spank your little behind. Because God will spank you. Don't think God won't spank you. If God ain't spanking you, the Bible says you're a bastard child. That's what the word said. I didn't say it. Don't throw no rock at me. God said it. That's what he said, Mama. Didn't he say that? He said, but if he's chasing you, it will yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness. The Bible says, if you sow the seed of peace, it will reproduce the seed of righteousness. See, being peaceful with folks produces a right stand with God. It also gives you a clear conscience, too. Okay, go with me to Luke 4:33. Now, here's a man that was troubled. Luke 4:33. And I was wondering, I was seeking God, and I'm saying, I went to that person and tried to help that person. And they went off on me, called me everything but a child of God, cussed me out, gossiped, talked about me behind my back. Lord, what is that? Here goes the Lord speaking, and here God, Jesus was speaking. Now watch this. Let's start at verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Here Jesus walks into the synagogue on Saturday morning and he begins to tell people who he is. Now watch what happens. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness in him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say to the proverb, physician, heal thyself. Well, whosoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in thy country. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Listen, but I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sepphira, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now, who was this widow? This widow, she saw that Elias was a prophet and a righteous man. She made a little room. She asked her husband. She made a little room in the top of the house for him. And the Bible says she never had a son. She was an older woman. The prophet prayed for her. And the Bible said the woman got pregnant and she had a baby. The Bible says the prophet was far away from her house and the baby fell dead. The Bible says that she ran to the prophet and told the prophet, and she walked upon the prophet, and the prophet said to her, woman, what is that problem? She said, it is well. He said, it is well with thee? She said, it is well. Say that with me this morning, it is well. Now, she had a dead baby at her house, but the prophet asked her, what is your problem? And she said, it is well. See, when you're going through trouble, you still got to say, it is well. Hear me now. Exactly. She grabs the prophet. She said, come to my house. She said, now, did you come to bring a curse on my house? He said, no. He grabs the baby. Listen, this is what happened the other day when Abraham was real sick. I had left him in the house. I wasn't being the father. I just kept him up in the house. And the Lord said, go get them babies. But I said, I'm too busy. I had to go to Israel. I got to go to Africa. I got to go to France. I got to, the soul's dying. And the Lord said, your children are dying. I go in the house and Abraham is crawled up in a little thing. He ain't ate 5 days. He ain't drank water. He can't. The Lord said, take him and put him in your arms. And I laid on the bed with this baby and I put him against my body. Now see, ladies and gentlemen, I just spent 12 hours with God. You cannot do this if you are fighting and arguing with people. You don't know when death is going to hit your house. And if you spend fighting and arguing with people, and when death hits your house, death is going to wipe your family out. But if you stay in the spirit, when death comes, you'll be able to intercede, block it, bind it, and pull it down. It will never touch your house. Many people are being destroyed because they have not been prepared for the demon of death. I grab Abraham and I put him in my arms and I begin to lay on him. And I put my body on his and my spirit began to overshadow him. And I begin to take authority over the spirit of death. I said, death, you have no authority. You have to begin to know the principles of life. You have to speak to death. You have to speak to poverty. You have to speak to confusion. Speak to destruction. Speak to murder. And you got to say you have no authority to come into the blood covering. The blood covering is the new covenant that Christ gave me. And I began to tell the devil, I said, devil, you have to come out of his body. Come off of his body. And I saw the demons leave. He began to cough up. And all of a sudden, I began to speak life back into his body. I said, body, you must obey me. I rebuke this fever.
And I command body, you to live and not die. I rebuke the spirit of death. Jesus swallowed up death. And I'm telling you, 1 hour he walked. 1 hour. He was up here in one day. Because I was charged with the power of heaven. The devil cannot steal my kids. Now the Lord began to deal with me about the congregation. The wolf has come in and stole some of my congregation because I was too busy. And God began to show me. He said, David, that's my name. God calls me. That's my son's name. That's Abraham's first name, David. I just call him Abraham. That's my nickname with God. God said, David, go back and get the sheep. And the Lord began to show me what the devil was doing to the people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with this hour wolves in sheep's clothing. Wolves in sheep's clothing. We're dealing with a people that profess Christ, but they really don't love Christ. They just want money. I was sitting in my house, and God began to deal with me. And he began to share with me about the spirit of a wolf. There were three people that called me that morning. And I never had the power to deal with those demons that used to just vex me. But here the Lord showed me this demon was a seducing spirit. This demon was a demon of Ahab and Jezebel. This demon was a cunning, crafty demon. Now these people, were all three of them were Christians. But they were still operating with a nature to deceive, seduce, and conquer and destroy. Now if you're a passive man and you're dealing with a Jezebel woman, you cannot deal with her. Because she will run the house. Many men die early because their wives are Jezebels. Now listen to me. Many women die early because their husbands are Ahabs. They're lazy. They don't want to pray. They watch television. If they watch the football game, they think that that's the thing to do. Instead of, now you invite them to prayer, they won't come and pray, but they'll love to watch the football game or the fight. But when it's time to seek God and turn from their wicked ways, the spirit of Ahab comes out. In fact, Ahab men love for their wives to go to church to get them out of their hair so they can watch porno on television. That's why you see more women in the church than men. Why? Because the spirit, they don't want to be around their husbands because their husband ain't teaching them the word. The Bible said that man should be the priest of those days. So now we see a woman that's a Jezebel. She want to take over the house. She figured, well, you don't want to do it, so I'm now the man of the house. Now women are playing two roles. They are the prayer warriors. Most of them are the providers because most men are lazy and they don't want to work. They take the money from the woman. They will not give money to the woman. Glory to God. Amen. And if you want to get their paycheck out of them, it's like sticking a knife in their back because they got that money. They'll love to go buy them a new suit, but the kids ain't got no clothes. The kids ain't got no food. And that's what the Lord began to deal with me about. He said, Brian, you cannot give them the money and expect them to do the job. Now listen to this. I had just spent $2,000 on my daughters for clothes. $2,000. That's a lot of money. They didn't have no clothes, no shoes, no underwear, nothing. So as I took them from the mall, I had never did this before. I never took them shopping by themselves. So I felt good. I took them, me and them, we just went shopping. We left Brian and all the other kids at home, and me and them just went out and shopped. And they were so happy, and they put their clothes in their closet. So the next day, I was seeking God and praying and praying and praying, and I'm at home, and I just was seeking God. And the Lord said, be careful. Stay home. Now listen to this. My passport got taken. My license got taken, because you know I love to move. I love to travel. But the Lord said, I said to be still. So that Friday morning, the teacher called me, and she said, Child Protection was going to take your kids because one of your children came to school with matted hair. And as tears ring down my eyes, and I just went to the mall, she said, oh, yeah, and your daughter hasn't taken a bath in 1 week. She smells. You know how that made me feel? But you know, it was my fault. It was my fault because I had neglected the responsibility of my children. I put it on somebody else who was irresponsible. If you're around irresponsible people, even if you pay them, if they're irresponsible, they'll wait till you get out of the way, and they'll sit back and laugh. He gone now. I can do my thing. And they'll be up there in the office listening to the radio, gossiping to their friends. And you'll be thinking, well, they over there working. I'm paying them. That's a lie. Folks are lazy. And if you don't stand over them and watch them like a two-year-old, they will not do their job. 90%. Do you know how much money MCI just lost in payroll? Billions. You know why? Because people weren't doing the job. The company or the church is not no more strong as the people. If you get a bunch of lazy people that don't want to go out and witness, don't want to go out and tell people about Christ, listen, there will be no deliverances, not salvations. Many people have known about Jesus, but how many people can you say are 100% delivered in the church? Why do people backslide? Why do people just give up and stop coming to church? You know why? Because you have to watch Christians like babies. It's true. I've noticed sometimes I get so angry at people, and the Lord said, well, that's your baby, though. You have to love them like a baby. And they're going to be calling you, too. And you're going to have to see, so many times we get hard-hearted because we don't have compassion. Jesus spent hours and hours on prayer because he had to be moved with compassion to heal the multitudes. He did not heal the people just with love, with filial or storage love or natural love. He had to have a supernatural love called agape, and something he had drawn from heaven to give to the people on earth. This had to be prayed in. Many times you're going to want to give up because you're going to be operating with filial love. But if you don't spend quality time in prayer and intercession, you will not build up your most holy faith with the strength of God's love. Then you'll be able to walk in love of God. You will walk in your own lustful love, conditional love. You'll walk in an unconditional love, the love that covers evil, the love that cannot see mistakes. The Bible said love cannot see evil. And I've wondered, Lord, what is that? Listen to this. And he said unto them, verse 23, ye shall surely say unto me this proverb, physicians, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in thy country. We want God to move in this country. People in America see that there's a problem in America. We want God to move, but are we willing to change so God can start with us? How many churches is there in America? Thousands. How come Jesus ain't showed up? Think about it. How many people confess Jesus Christ in America and there's no move of God? You ever thought about that? Luke 22:27. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as the servant. Ye are which have continued with me in the temptation, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may shift you like wheat. Listen. But I have prayed for thee, that thou faith fail not. I'm in Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said to Simon, put your name there. Put your name there. Put Kathy, George, Frank, whoever you are. And the Lord said, Brian, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may shift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, Brian, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, listen, and when thou art converted, now he's talking to one of his apostles. Look at this. Strengthen thy brethren. So what is our job? Because here, Peter, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Peter walked with God. This was God he was talking to. Could you imagine walking with Jesus and Jesus happened to tell you that? So we know that's why a lot of people backslide. Because their faith has not been strengthened. Listen. Oh, yes, Lord. And they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So Jesus is not praying for them. Thank you, Lord. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you don't cry out for Jesus and ask God to deliver you, you will not get God's attention, and God will not pray with you. Ooh, glory to God. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Listen. And he said unto him, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast thrice denied thee, thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I send you without a purse and a scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, everything. Nothing. So why is the church lacking today? Because we're doing it on our own instead of with Jesus. Uh-oh. God told me that this morning. I said, Lord, you got to pay these bills. He said, I'm already paying them. Why do you think you're still there? I was like, ooh. You know, sometimes we get a little haughty, you know. But God is already sustaining us. In fact, he said, how do you think you woke up this morning to even breathe and tell me something like that? You little chump. Well, God called me this morning, chump. What do you think you in? I said, whoa. Forgive me, Lord. You know, sometimes God got to get us attention. Amen. And there appeared an angel. Uh-oh. Boy, this is getting good. Then said he unto them, but now, I'm in verse 36, he that hath the purse, let him take it, and likewise a scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, there are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Listen. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if there be thou willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. The Spirit of Santos and Corazon. You see, most of us don't have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not just praying in tongues. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love, obedience, repentance, godly sorrow when you hurt somebody. Amen. Godly sorrow when you do something wrong against somebody and they don't even know it, but you feel so bad you got to tell them, I'm sorry. I made you trust me, but now I did something behind your back. I'm sorry. You're convicted. You know you did wrong. Not you just waiting so you can do something behind their back and get away with it, but you have so much fear of God, you want to tell the truth because you don't have no peace. See, you know when you don't have no peace. Say, Father, if there be willing, nevertheless this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel of him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer, he was come to the disciples, who found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he had yet spoken, behold, a multitude, he was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of with a kiss? When thou, which were about him, saw that thou wouldest follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite thee with the sword? So we don't even deal with Christians that are coming to betray us. They have betrayal spirits in their heart. I met this lady. She played the piano here. And the Lord said, stay away from her. I didn't obey. And you know what happened? She sued me for sexual harassment. I never sexually harassed her. Amen. So what? Guess what? She lost. When it really came down, when she had to take that polygraph test, she couldn't take one, so she had to drop the case. But anybody can sue you. Amen. Don't think you're not going to be sued, betrayed, lied on. Amen. It was a blessing. Because you know what the Lord told me? He said, you should have obeyed Sister so-and-so that told you to stay away from that lady. The hell I had to go through because I didn't obey. Sometimes you got to obey people. Hello? No, they ain't spiritual. I ain't got to listen to them. So we get puffed up in pride. Amen. So the Lord has to spank your little butt. See, God spanks you when you don't obey. Because God knows what's inside of their hearts. Oh, this thing is getting real hot. You can always tell folks get quiet. The church mouses. Amen. I thank God I was sued. I'm staying away. I'm obedient now. Whoop me, Lord. Amen. Could you imagine if God didn't whoop me and I did fall? Where I would be? But because I was obedient, I won. But I should have never got in that trap. But I didn't obey. That's why I was trapped. And you know that trap cost me too. Sometimes when you're trapped, you still got to pay a price. Amen. Go with me to 1 Kings 22:6. I was seeking God, 1 Kings 22:6, and I was asking God, why'd that person tell me to stay away from that person? 1 Kings 22:6. And the Lord said, well, I spoke to them, but they didn't know the scripture that well. You got puffed up in pride. You didn't want to listen, and it cost you. What? Listen. And so I began to seek God. Why God wanted me to stay away from that person? Listen. 1 Kings 22:6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 of them, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth to battle? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver thee into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said unto thee, not hear a prophet of the Lord beside that he might inquire him. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Uh-oh, he hates the prophet. Now, back in the old days, listen to me. The kings used to inquire of the prophets before they would go to battle. Now, I want you to see this, that here a man hates the prophet, so how are you going to get a word from God and you hate God's people? President Bush, he went to the Arabs and started reading the Quran on national TV. He's going to side with the devil instead of seeking the mind of God and seeking out the prophets of God. In this hour, you're going to see the promise of God is going to be risen up in this land. And God is going to speak to the president and all the presidents around the world with the prophetic powers of God, like it was in the days of old. Because this is the hour of the miracle power. Watch this. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micah, the son of Ishmael, by whom we may acquire the Lord, but I hate him. For he doeth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Uh-oh. See, some people want them to prophesy stuff to make them happy. You're going to get $1 billion. You want to see that man stand up like this and start dancing? You're going to get $1 billion. He'd be dancing. But I say, you need to love your wife. You know, you've been neglecting your wife. I don't like him too much. He don't tell me what I want to hear. You understand? This is what he's saying. The king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micah, the son of Ishmael. And the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, the king Judah, said in each of the strong, had him put his robes. And if you read the whole thing, you'll see. In verse 13, it says, call Micah, spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let the word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them. He going to try to tell the prophet of God what to say. All the other prophets was telling the king what he wanted to hear. Now, if you go with me all through the book of Kings, first, all kings are dealing with false prophets that tell you things. Even this one king, his name was Ahab. He had a wife named Jezebel. And every time, now she had 400 prophets deceived with her food. That's why be careful what food you eat from people. They may be putting something in the food. You know, them women down in Louisiana, they put some crazy stuff in your food. You be dreaming over there. Why do I like so-and-so so much?
She done put one of them hexes on you. Now, if you ain't spiritual, you will be like this. I'm in love. I'm leaving my wife, my dog, my car. I'm giving her everything. What's wrong with brother so-and-so? He done lost his mind. The spirit of schizophrenia done took over him. And that demon done put a hex on him. Lord, show me that this morning in prayer. Watch a couple people. Watch them. Don't think I ain't watching you, baby. I'm watching you like a hawk. I get up every morning and pray and spread my wings and seek the Holy Ghost. Don't think for one second I ain't watching you. Glory to God. This book is powerful. Glory to God. And it goes on and on. It talks. That's why I love reading the Bible. It's got so many good stories. So it came to the king, and the king said, verse 15, Micah, shall we go against Ramoth? Listen, and he answered, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver thee unto the hand of the king. And the king said to him, how many times shall I endure thee that thou may tell me nothing that thou wish is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hill as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return and remain to his own house in peace. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him, and on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab? Now Ahab was an evil king. Every time he saw somebody with something that wasn't his, he's stealing. Amen. A lot of people like that. He even got his wife to steal. She was full of witchcraft. Listen, verse 22, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. You got to watch prophets in these last days. I don't mean God is telling you that. You got to see God for yourself. Amen. And the Lord have spoken evil concerning thee. Listen, but Jechaiah, the son of Chechaniah, went near and smote Micah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me unto thee? There goes the jealous. How can you be more spiritual than me? How dare you get around the pastor thinking you can tell the pastor something? I'm his advisor. How dare you? Who do you think you are? I'm talking about you, the advisor. You got the devil of Jezebel in you. Spirit of witchcraft. And Micah said, behold, thou shalt see in the day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micah and carry him back into among the governor of the city and to Joah, the king's son. He said unto the king, put thee fellow in prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. But if you read the story, he dies. Judgment came on him because he had a lying spirit. But the prophet spoke to him, but he didn't want to listen. See, so many people God's speaking to, they don't want to listen. They'd rather listen to a lying spirit instead of obeying God. See, every time when God tells you something, you may not like to listen. You may want to put me in prison when I tell you. Sometimes when God tells me to tell people something, I don't want to tell them because I'm scared. They may smash my windows out of my car. Amen. I told this lady something one time. She got out of my Lexus and kicked the door. Sure did. Put a big dent in it. And I was mad. But the Lord said, see, told you she had the devil in her. I couldn't see the devil in her till I made her mad. She went, kicked my Lexus, put a big dent in the side of the door. I thought she was my homegirl, too. But let her get mad. You don't know what's in folks till you get them mad. You don't know what's in folks till the Holy Ghost start moving and touching them. Glory to God. In this last week, I done seen people act like a natural fool.
thinking, what is that? Who is that? You don't even know him. You'd be thinking, didn't I know them? Wasn't they so sweet? If you're stupid, no, listen to you. How dare you tell me something? What is telling you? You're just looking at me, but it's the Lord talking to you. The Lord is talking to you. Lord Jesus, let us pray. God, we praise you. With every head bowed, every eye is closed. Touch your people, God. Strengthen them. Help them to not fail when temptation comes. Lord, help us. Help us not to give place to the devil, Lord. Forgive us for our sins, Father. Heal our families, but we pray for our lost families, people that are not saved. We've been a bad example to them, Lord. We haven't prayed. We haven't ministered to them. We're still living in the past. Lord, help us to forgive the past. Pray for our mother, father, sisters and brothers, our children, our spouses. Forgive us, Lord. Help us not to listen to the lying spirit, Lord. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Cleanse us with that blood, Lord. But we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you. Praise you.
Hola, soy Lupe de JCN. Voy a hacer una entrevista con el apóstol Brian Thomason, líder de la compañía London Financial, para que él nos responda a alguna de las dudas que nosotros tenemos a la hora de obtener una tarjeta de crédito que es válida alrededor del mundo. Western Union, how much that Western Union charges you to send the money to Mexico or to the place where you...
Okay, usually Western Union charges around $30.
Usualmente Western Union cobra $30. Uh-huh. The third question is, how can you start that credit? You know, how can you start that space
card?
Boot credit card?
Well, basically, they come down to the office and they pay... $650.
Usted viene a la oficina y usted paga $650.
And then they get a credit card with $500 cash.
Y agarra usted una tarjeta de crédito que es de, excuse me, how much, sir?
They get a credit of $500.
Oh, agarra una tarjeta de crédito por $500.
But that card is good for life.
Pero esa tarjeta es buena por vida, por toda la vida.
So it's one-time fee.
Solamente te cobra una vez. Por la tarjeta y eso es todo.
Like, you know how you go to Western Union, you have to keep paying. Well, you don't pay no more.
Bueno, aquí en Western Union, usted sigue pagando y sigue pagando. Aquí con esta tarjeta, usted nos paga.
And so, basically, they can also use that credit card for grocery shopping.
Puede usar esa tarjeta de crédito para la tienda, para crédito.
And shopping.
Para ir a de compras. Eso
yes,
es lo que él dice.
Clothes shopping, yes.
Lo más importante, ¿no?
Yes. And they can go to the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And buy food, comida.
Yes. So, but how can they, that's the way to start, no? That's
right.
The way to start.
So the limit is $1,000 on the card.
Okay.
And we also pay 5% if they keep the money on the card.
How can you get that credit? How can you get that space boot credit?
Okay.
With the store. How the store, you know, the companies. When you,
oh, you mean can a retail store be a merchant?
Yes.
Oh, sure. What they would do is they would go on the internet or call us.
Okay. Lo único que tienen que hacer para las tiendas poder agarrar esa tarjeta y esté en su negocio es solamente ir al internet y agarrar la información o solamente hablar una llamada telefónica. Eso es todo lo que toma para que usted obtenga su tarjeta de crédito Space Boot.
Or they can go to any of the retail offices that they see on the screen.
O puede ir a otras oficinas que usted puede ver en su pantalla.
And basically what they do, they can sign up for $650.
Y lo que va a hacer es agarrar la tarjeta por $650.
And they get 50 credit cards.
Y agarra usted 50 cartas de crédito.
Yeah, they come in packages of two.
Okay, vienen en paquetes de dos.
So they can send one to their mother in Mexico.
Para que usted pueda vender una de sus, mandar a México una tarjeta y usted se quede con otra.
Yeah, so that their mother can't get robbed anymore. That's a big thing in Mexico.
Para que su mamá o la persona que usted le dio la tarjeta no abusen de ella, le roben, le hagan un robo, porque ahora hay mucho de eso. Eso es la seguridad de la tarjeta Space Boot.